How are you? Just one more day to go, so. The Lord's recovery is God becoming the flesh. The flesh becoming the life-giving Spirit. And the life-giving Spirit becoming the sevenfold intensified Spirit to build up the church and to you messed me up. If you didn't interrupt, I would have finished it. I was going to do it and give myself an A. You messed up my evening already. It's okay. Well, tonight, we come to... I really don't have an adjective to describe my feeling about this topic or this outline. And it is, I'm basically wordless, speechless, when it comes to expressing my sensation. This matter of the God-man's divine right to participate in God's divinity, and particularly, I'd like you to pay attention to, obviously, these very important subject or underlying burden here is this matter of right, the divine right. That is only afforded to a God-man. To a child of God, even a son of God, who has become God's species through not only redemption, but regeneration. By receiving the divine life of God Himself on top of the natural light that He had as a man. Only such a one has or possesses this divine right. And this right affords him the privilege, the claim, the freedom, may I say, the authority to participate, meaning to partake of and to enjoy God's divinity. And in this precious outline, there are 10 points of all the different key aspects of God's divinity. And the God-man has acquired the right to participate in each one of them. This outline that we have, you have in your book there, is based on a simple outline prepared by Brother Lee back in 1995, I believe, in the winter. The occasion was the graduation of a class of FTTA trainees. And there, In those days, he was already into the burden deeply to release these high peak truths in the Word of God. And he said, I welcome the opportunity to do this any time, because he was so burdened. And he said, one of these high truths, and by the way, this is 1995, he has actually not finished all the different items of the high truth era of his ministry. But one of these high truths is the matter of participating in God's divinity. And so, in that graduation, of all places, or all occasions, Brother Lee gave a brief word. And let me tell you, indeed, it was brief. I would even say terse. Concerning the God-man's right to participate in God's divinity. When I got that outline, received that outline, I just was truly mesmerized by it, just looking at it, and I must confess, I didn't know what this is about. But somehow, it captured my attention deeply. I said, this outline to me is an instant classic. It almost brings together, or summarizes in a way, not in every way, but in a way, all these high peak things that were being released. So while I did not understand all of this, I even put this outline away, but I have to say I sort of hid it in my heart. Now in that very short graduation talk that Brother Lee gave, and every few years I think here you will watch it, and this one you would have Brother Kerry Robichaud on the side as the practice in those days. He would read that outline. And after every point, these are very, very brief points, Brother Lee, Kerry would pause, and Brother Lee would say a few words. And he didn't say that much, really. I have this whole message in front of me. But my goodness, brothers and sisters, this is stupendous. This is unfathomable. This is nothing less than staggering. What it conveys of this very special and unusual participation by one who started out as a mere creature, a natural man. And more than that, one who because of the fall, became a sinner. With the nature and element and life of the sinful one, the devil, in him. To this one who had been created and yet who had fallen to such a degraded level, God is still giving him that right. God is still affording him the chance, the possibility, if he would turn and repent, to have this right again. Tonight, I'm not here to give a lecture on the law, on rights and all of that. I know that this is a country that is strong in rights, civil liberties, human rights, and all the rest. And thanks to the Constitution of this land, we're given certain basic and what the Founding Fathers call unalienable rights, which is, I don't mean those rights, but the basic human rights were according to the law of God in His creation. In fact, God gave man the right to choose. Perhaps that is the very first right that God gave to this creature of His. You know, only a small being will seek to control. The greater you are, the more you allow people the right to choose their destiny. God never put a gun to Adam or Eve's head. God never forced or pressure or coerce the human being to do what He would like them to do. God rather, after He made this man, and listen, this is not just any creature, and He's not just even the highest creature. Listen. God, according to His own eternal heart's desire and economy, had wanted to have Himself reproduced. Yes, you heard me right. Reproduced, duplicated, copied. For His joy, for His expression, for His glory, or simply for His satisfaction. So after the universe was polluted and ruined by a certain angelic rebellion that just messed everything up, including this planet, where there's only darkness, God came in. His Spirit came to do a work of recreation, if you will, restoration, repair, remodeling, to remake this earth with millions and billions of items, so that this planet, this earth, would be an environment, a good environment for Him to fulfill that heart's desire. And that is, He restored an environment that would be good for this last creature that He made. And this one, He did not make by snapping His finger or just saying, "Let there be." This one, out of the clay, out of the soil of the ground of the earth, he formed. This one, he personally breathed into his nostrils his own breath. Not himself, but his breath, something very close to him. And this one became a living being, a living soul. And this one was formed and made. And this is very important. In his image. And according to his likeness. So both within and without, this one that he created was just like him. Inside, outside. The only thing that this one did not have was himself as life. His element, his nature, his essence, his attributes. But still, after he created this one, he gave himself an A+. He said, "This is very good." Why? Because he finally made that one. It's called man. It's called Adam. Adam. God succeeded, at least as a start. Then after he made this man, he proceeded to his second step, which is critical. And that is, this one would not only possess his image and likeness, but he would actually have his God's life. The life of God would be dispensed or transferred or placed or put into this creature, this man. And so he put man in the middle of the garden, and there were many trees there, and included in those trees, those pretty trees, there was one called the tree of life, which was good for food. Of course, there's another tree there. But this tree, that tree, actually, God warned man, "Don't eat. Don't eat. The day you eat, you die." Brothers and sisters, I tell you, there you have this creature called man. This man, I would like to say tonight strongly as a reminder, was, and I'm quoting Brother Lee here, was not yet mankind. He was God-kind. He was made in the image of God. He had the likeness of God. And he was made with the capacity to receive God, because he has God's breath, which really is the source of the human spirit. And so that was not mankind there, actually. That was Godkind there. But yet that Godkind that not yet have God's life. He was all ready for it. And there, God afforded this man, number one, the freedom, the right to choose. I always think that God is not that smart. He should have just programmed us to eat the tree of life. So we just automatically go and eat, you know? And the story of this universe would be so sweet and wonderful. But I'm not God. And God had his purpose to fulfill, and God has his sovereign plan according to his economy. So he put before man this tree. Basically, he is giving man this right, this access to that tree. And what is that tree? That tree is simply he himself. Presented to man, available to man as life in the form of food. That if man would just eat that tree, to eat that fruit of that tree of life, then just like when you take in any food, there would be an organic process, a metabolic process of eating, of digesting, of metabolizing, of assimilating what he ate, Adam in this case. And I tell you, what would that mean? That would just mean God would have gotten into Adam as life. And with this life comes the very nature of God. And with that nature of God comes all the other things related to God. If man had done that, I tell you, God would have been reproduced and duplicated. God would have an expression in man. And that man would have been instantly a God-man. But that did not happen, as we know. Man was seduced to take of the fruit of the other tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which represent the devil, Satan, God's enemy, in the form of food as well, to be consumed by man. Man ate that, though he possessed the image and the likeness of God. He consumed the life and nature of the devil. No wonder when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, these people, these Israelites and Jews who were seeking to kill him, to get rid of him, this one who called God his Father, this one who said he did the work of the Father, he spoke from the Father, and they, when the Lord say, your father, who do you know who is your father? They said at first Abraham. Then later on they even say God is our father. The Lord say, no. You are just like your father, the devil. The sinner's father is the devil. The sinner's life is satanic. The sinner's nature is sinful. The fallen man has a father already. They were begotten already in a fallen way, in the fallen realm, by Satan himself. So their real father was the devil, the wrong father, the one who came in and sabotaged God's plan, apparently, the one who frustrated what God wanted to do for his own purpose. This makes me, brothers and sisters, and by the way, you may be worrying about my finishing this outline. I'm quite sure. Tonight, actually, I will mainly just read this outline to you. Probably not with that much comment. All these, in these outlines, the points in these, under these 10 points are covered in all these other messages very, very marvelously. So I'm going to just be simple and just read you your rights. Not Miranda rights. Something far, far more sublime and lofty and wondrous. But let me finish this story. This reminds me of the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son, who was born with the rights in the father's house. But you know what? He squandered. He gave up. He abandoned his rights. I also always think of young people who love to bash America, to say America is terrible. I said, okay, just leave. I'll buy your ticket tomorrow. You just have to abandon your rights. I don't care how terrible this country has become. I tell you, these rights that we enjoy, not a small thing. Brother Lee spoke about this. Brother Lee came to this country partly because of this. The first thing, the right, the freedom of speech and expression, without which I cannot speak like this, perhaps without being jailed or shot. And all these rights that are afforded. So this young man abandoned his rights, gave up his rights, and ended up in a very bad place, eating pig's food. Then he had a change of mind, and he returned to the father, and he prepared a script, a speech that says, Dad, I really, really bungled it. You don't have to do anything. Just make me one of your servants and slaves, and I'll eat where they eat and live where they live, and I'll be very, very thankful. What did the father do? He ran to him, kissed him on the neck, put on the most beautiful garment, put on a ring on his hand, shoes, sandals on his feet, and killed the fatted calf. Do you know what that is? That is restoring his full right. The right that he gave up. My brothers and sisters, We were those who gave up God's original rights given to us. Am I correct? We thought if we just come back and be a good guy and do something nice and good, it will be okay. But no, God doesn't want us to do that, just to still be in slavery, just to keep the law. God wants sons. God wants reproduction. God wants children. God wants an organic expression of Himself on this earth and eventually in this universe. God doesn't want slaves. We have not received a spirit of slavery to fear again. We have received the spirit of sonship. And our expectation and hope is the freedom of the revelation of God's sons one day. God's desire is though we were born as man and fallen as man to become devils, that one day we would be designated, just like His firstborn son was designated, to become a real and true and genuine son of God. Amen. That means we will become gods in life and nature, of course, and not in the fatherhood or in the Godhead. Brothers and sisters, are you all by this? I mean, if you think about this, you just get up and think about this, or you sit there and ruminate on this a little bit, I tell you, you will go crazy. You will say, my God, my Father, my Lord, who am I? Who am I that you have not stripped these rights from me? You're still waiting to return these rights to me. If I would turn, if I would repent, if I would come back. Hallelujah. God never relinquished it. He could have. But no. He came Himself as a man to die on that cross, to shed His blood, to fulfill God's requirement. The requirement that He put around that tree that once upon a time man had access to, but no longer. The cherubims, the flaming sword, God's glory, God's holiness, God's righteousness, keeping man, the fallen man, the devil man, out because he's sinful. But He came to die for us, to receive God's judgments on our behalf, to die a vicarious death. Because of that, hallelujah, a new and living way was opened. Amen. The veil was riven from top to bottom. And brothers and sisters, we have our right to the tree of life once more. Amen. Do you know what happened on the cross when the Lord was like this? When His side was pierced, that blood and water flowed. Blood to redeem, to wash, to cleanse, for forgiveness, for justification, for reconciliation, and water to regenerate, to accomplish God's original intention for each and every one of us. He died so that we may live. He was judged so that these rights can be resumed. Now, because of his death and resurrection, of course, he became this very God. The very God became that life-giving spirit, the spirit of life that can, what, come into us. You know, last weekend, Saturday, was the graduation at the Middle Age, and on the front of their program, there's this little verse that was Revelation 22:14, blessed in the New Jerusalem, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right. Amen. That they may have right. Amen. To the tree of life. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that right is restored. If your robes are washed in his blood, you have the right tonight. Amen. To eat that tree. Amen. And eat as much as you want. Amen. But it doesn't even stop there. You have a second right, an associated right, and that is to enter through the gates. You don't need to sneak in. You don't need to climb over those walls. You just go right through those wonderful pearly gates. The crucified and resurrected Christ. Straight into the city. You know, if there's a footnote there. 14:2. That's the literally what this verse says in the first part. Is that there, let they, this literal meaning in Greek, their authority will be over the tree of life. Now, this is not just some little right. This is an authority. We are given authority over the tree of life. And we're given authority to enter into that city. I tell you, the Bible starts with the tree of life and ended up with that tree of life in a holy city. And we are imbued with the rights to enjoy all of that. Do you want to be somewhere else? I don't. I already have the prime rights to that tree and to that city. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as have received him, to them he gave the authority. The authority. Not just rights, but the authority to be called the children of God. What a right! We mere men and fallen men at that now have full right to become children of God. Sons of God. To become gods in life and nature. Now, if you don't jump up and shout, what miracle What mystery! Maybe you have not seen this yet. This is shocking. This is unbelievable. And here we are. Here we are, brothers and sisters. Yes, pinch yourself. Sometimes I really almost literally pinch myself. What happened? What happened? Today I have these rights. I almost don't know what to do with it. I don't have time for all the other things today, this country, abusing the rights in the most depraved way. This is right, that kind of right, that kind of right. All for sinful reasons, all that will bring forth confusion and death and destruction. What kind of rights are those? I tell you, here we have the holy rights. Amen. The highest rights. Amen. The divine rights. Amen. We have the right to become God. Amen. Look. I am a naturalized U.S. citizen. I have a right to vote for the president, to vote in a president, you know, public office. That's my right as a U.S. citizen. But sorry, I don't have the right to run for the presidency because I'm not born here. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't covet that one bit. Not only because of what's going on, I don't covet that one bit, but I have much higher rights. I have the supreme right that any human being can possess, the right to become God. Did you get it? That's your right. If tonight you see your rights, I'm done. Do you see your rights? Yes. I like to shout this on the rooftop. I like to tell every Christian, child of God, you don't know what your rights are. You've forgotten them. You were never told. You know, this country, they have a right to fair trial, a jury trial, due process, and some people don't know this, and they lost their rights. You know your right, don't you? Amen. Now, I'm going to just read this. I think that's best. The God-man's divine right to participate in God's divinity. One, we need to realize that as God-men, we have the divine right to participate in God's divinity. That is to participate in God, simply put. We can partake of His divine nature. We can receive eternal life. And as we will see, we can enjoy and possess all the other divine things related to God Himself. The first step in becoming a God-man is that we are born of the pneumatic Christ in our spirit with His divine life and nature. B. As God-men, those who have been born of God to be children of God, we have the right to participate in what God is and even to become God in life, nature, and expression, but not in the Godhead. Read your rights. Just go home tonight and read your rights. The right to participate in what God is. The right to become God in life and nature and expression. Romans 2. As God-men, we can participate in various aspects of God's divinity. Now we go into these 10 items that our brother enumerated in 1995. It's just simply stunning. Unbelievable. A, we can participate in God's life. Of course, everything starts here. One, life is the content of God and the flowing out of God. God's content is God's being, and God's flowing out is the impartation of Himself as life to us. You think God has to do that? No. God wants to do that. He's not just having pity on you, the sinner. He needs to satisfy His eternal good pleasure. To dispense His life into us. Not that we can live longer or happier, but we can become His reproduction. Two, the life of God is divine, having the nature of God and is eternal, being uncreated, without beginning and ending, self-existing, ever-existing, and never-changing. Do you know you receive that life? I mean, you were given that right, and you exercised that right one day when you heard the gospel. And you believed into Christ, our Savior. And you receive this ever-existing life, that unchanging life. Three, the eternal life of God is indestructible, indissoluble, and incorruptible, and it is resurrection life that passed through the test of death and Hades, conquered death, and will swallow up death. You have right to that life. So don't stay in your death situation. Don't remain in death. You don't have to. Get out of it. Claim the resurrection life. Tell death, get out of here. The one who has the power of death, tell him, you are destroyed. Your head is crushed. I have the resurrection life. Amen. Four, life is the process and consummated triune God dispensing to us and living in us. This life is a person. It's not a box. It's not a thing. It's a person, God Himself, who came into us to live in us, to be our very person. Today is one of my sons-in-law's birthday. I'd like to tell him and whoever is having a birthday, forget about that birthday. If you really want to celebrate, celebrate your real birthday. The day you became God in your spirit. The day you become a child of God, possessing His life. B, we can participate in God's nature. Oh my goodness, my goodness. One, the divine nature is what God is. That is the constituents of God's being. God's constitution is God's nature. God's essence is God's nature. 2, God is holy. Holiness is his nature. And he chose us in Christ to make us holy, even as he is holy. So this is not just a wonderful hope that we have. This is actually a right rendered to us. We have a right to become holy as he is holy. Not one iota of difference. The only thing is he's still the Godhead and we are not. Otherwise, we're here to have his holiness. So he can say, be holy as I am holy. That's a right, a divine right. Having chosen us to be holy, to be holy is to participate in God's holy nature. Having chosen us to be holy, God makes us holy by imparting himself, the Holy One, into our being, so that our whole being will be saturated and permeated with his holy nature. 3, to be a partaker of God's divine nature is to be a partaker of the elements, the ingredients of God's being. God's being has lots of rich ingredients, unsearchably rich. Day by day, we should partake of God's nature and enjoy the constituents of his being. So when you rise up, when you have the morning time with the Lord, you have to thank the Lord. Lord, out of billions of people, I have the right to contact you now. They cannot. I have access to you. I have a right to the heavenly oval office. You know what I mean? It's called the Holy of Holies. I have a right straight into his presence to enjoy that life-giving spirit. My goodness, what right do I have? Don't despise your rights, brothers and sisters. Don't be indifferent to them. See, because we have become God-men through regeneration, we have the right to participate even in God's mind. We have a right to have God's mind. 1, we are in God. I don't have time to cover the verses. There are scriptural basis for this. We are in God and we have the elements of God. We still have our mind, but we also have God's mind in us. So when the anointing is moving within us, it anoints God into us and reveals God's mind to us. Then the spirit that we have received is an anointing spirit. It is the sealing spirit. It is the transforming spirit. That spirit is what brings God to us and brings all his essences and all his ingredients, his nature, into the rest of our being. From our spirit into our hearts. That includes our soul and the chief faculty of our soul, our mind, the leading organ. Day after day and moment by moment, the spirit is seeking to anoint God's mind into our mind, into our heart. Moment by moment, the laws, the new laws are being engraved and written on the tablets of our heart with the Spirit as the living ink. It's happening. 3, if we let Christ's mind be our mind, we may have Christ's mind. How wonderful, Philippians. Let this mind be in you, the humbled mind of Christ. We have not only the life of Christ, but also the mind of Christ. You say, I'm too proud. I can never be a humble person. But I have good news. You have right to Christ's mind. that never exalted himself, never consider his equality with God something to grasp upon. Someone, a mind that is, that condescended, or not condescended, that caused him to take on the form of a slave and eventually die the death of a criminal, malefactor. A mind that is not proud, not just think about its own things, but the things of others. That mind of God in Christ is becoming ours. We not only have the life of Christ, but also the mind of Christ. Be Christ must saturate our mind from our spirit, making our mind one with His. So I use this word again, let. Let this mind be in you. It's just like, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You have to cooperate and exercise your right to let this mind come into yours. D, the God-men have the right to participate in God's being. One, our basis for saying this is Paul's word in 2 Corinthians 3:18 about our being transformed with God's very being. Two, the dispensing of the unsearchable riches of Christ into us means that we participate not only in God's life, nature, and mind, but also in His being. Recall that verse, that as we turn our heart, the veils are removed, and as a mirror we behold and reflect. Am I right? And are being transformed into the same image. We'll get to image in a moment. Even as from the Lord Spirit, a compound name of the process and consummated triune God, of the Lord Christ. That is the Lord Spirit. We are being transformed into the same image, even as from the Lord Spirit, from the being of God. God's very being is being conveyed, being infused into us. All the unsearchable riches of Christ convey His being, various parts of His being, into ours. Wow. Wow. God's being. E, as God men, we have the right to participate in God's image. One, Christ is God's image expressing what He is. Two, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, we are being transformed into the same image. Three, to be transformed into the same image is to be conformed to the resurrected Christ as the firstborn Son of God, to be made the same as He is. We covered yesterday this wonderful organic salvation. Including in it is the matter of transformation and conformation, a very important process of God's complete salvation. I tell you tonight, transformation and conformation are rights. Rights. We have a right to be transformed. We have a right to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. To be made exactly the same as He is in life and nature, constitution and expression. in this case, his expression. We have a right. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have a right to express God. Amen. We have a right to express God in Christ. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, is our image, the image that we are becoming. F, eventually we will be brought into God's glory to participate in His glory. This is somewhat, in God's full salvation, the grand finale. God is a God of glory. Glory is the expression of God. God expressed in splendor. In splendor. In radiance. We cannot imagine what that looked like, you know. The three of the disciples were fortunate to have a glimpse on the so-called Mount of Transfiguration. Just a little bit. The Lord just unzipped a tiny little bit. But oh, that day is coming. We will enter into His glory. God would have brought many sons into His glory. There we will be fully designated the sons of God. That's the next item on the sonship. And we will be revealed in God's manifestation, and we'll see it in a moment. And we will be in glory, saturated with glory. We will shine with the glory of God. And that's a right. The all-inclusive Christ dwells in us as the hope of glory. For as we behold and reflect the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the Lord's image from glory to glory. Today, right now, from one stage of glory to another stage. Until we'll be no more that ugly caterpillar. We'll become the beautiful butterfly. G, another aspect of God-man's divine right is to participate in God's sonship. This takes a lot of study, but we'll just read through this. One, before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, God predestinated us unto sonship. We were marked out. Look, we were marked out to have this right. Don't ask me how. It's not because you're more handsome. Actually, God chose the weak of this world, the nothings of this world, to confound the wise. Anyway, we were predestined, chosen in eternity past, not only to be holy, but unto sonship. Before time began, God intended and determined that we should participate in His sonship. Three, Christ's redemption brings us into the sonship of God, and we have received a spirit of sonship. Our regenerated human spirit mingle with the spirit of the Son of God. Do you know within you, brothers and sisters, is a spirit of sonship? Amen. It is not the spirit of slavery. Amen. To fear again. Right. It is the spirit of the Son. Amen. In which we cry a sweet Abba Father. You know when you say, tell God, you tell God of this universe, Abba Father. Now that is a right. You know, today, if someone on the street comes to say, hey, Dad, I said, get away from here. I'm not your dad. You're just a stranger. You're weird. But at the Lord's table, when we rise and say, Abba, Father, God will never say, get out of here. God will never think we're loopy, huh? God will say, come here, my son. Come. Come. Come, my son. My son.
Amen.
You have the right. And you're using it. And I'm happy about it. Keep calling me Abba Father. Just keep doing it every day. H, the God-man's right to participate in God's divinity includes the right to participate in God's manifestation. One, when Christ our life is manifested, we will be manifested with Him in glory. Simultaneously, one with Him. As He is in glory, so we will be. Not apart from Him, not in separate glories, but the same glory. Two, when God is manifested, we the sons of God will participate in that manifestation. Three, God will be manifested with His sons, who will be the same as He is in like nature, in mind, in being, in image, and in glory. I, the God-man, right, divine right to participate in God's divinity includes the right to bear God's likeness. That will happen on that day. 1 John 3:2 says, we know that if He is manifested, we will be like Him because we will see Him even as He is. Do you look forward to that day or not? We will appear with Him in His likeness. The whole universe will be wondering. We'll be shocked. What happened? There was only one. Now there's so many. Millions. One with Him. Who are just Him? Sharing His likeness. My goodness, that's the day when God will be fully satisfied. He made us in His image, according to His likeness, and now we have it.
Amen.
This is not the Garden of Eden. This is the paradise of God.
Amen.
Consummating in the New Jerusalem. J, finally, the God-men have the divine right to be God-mankind, God's species. One, God became man to enter into the human species, and man becomes God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead to enter into the realm of God's divine species. What a blessed realm, huh? Two, in order to enter into that divine realm, the realm of the divine species, we need to be born of God to have the divine life and the divine nature. A, we have been regenerated to be God's species and become God-mankind. B, our second birth, regeneration, calls us to enter into the kingdom of God to become the species of God. C, all the children of God are in the divine realm of the divine species. D, in the Gospel of John, we see many aspects of the believers living in the realm of the divine species. Three, wherever we may be, we need to remember that we are God-men with the divine right to participate in God's divinity. All right, I want you to read the last sentence, changing the plural pronoun into the singular and say I. Wherever I may be, I need. Okay, let's read it together. Go. Hallelujah. 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 Remember this and never forget your rights. God is pleased for you to exercise them as much as you want, to the maximum. That will make Him happy, because this is the way we will become Him for His full and eternal expression. Amen. Please pray. Actually, please not pray. Praise the Lord with your neighbor.